Accession number 19670, Reel 5.
Right.
Philip Daniel, Reel 5.
Right, Reel 5, we're reeling now. Where have we got on to? I think we're talking about the Japanese soldier and the Japanese atrocities and all that. We were conscious, of course.
You were going to say the version that you got from the person in Japan.
Well, I was saying a version given to me in Japan by one of the colleagues, I call them, one of the sort of chaps of my generation who served in Burma and didn't deny the atrocities, but didn't accept that they were, as it were, inherent in the Japanese character in any sense. And attributed, a lot were attributed to the fact that a conscript army had been developed in vast numbers very quickly, and to fight a war which had been brought about through the a version of politics which had been elaborated by certain Japanese, and particularly the army. One knows that the Navy was always extremely doubtful about the way the army was going. And had fallen in for German ideas, really, of Totalkrieg, and it was rather similar to the sort of German attitude, which first of all used atrocity as a means of frightening and undermining the morale of the enemy, and also partly because they despised anybody who wasn't of their own particular breed and upbringing and outlook. And that, so they didn't deny that that took place in Japan, but said that was really alien to the Japanese character as such. And I accept that that Japanese regular soldiers, particularly the old generals, many of whom had been over to Europe, particularly to England, to our staff colleges and so on, thought the whole thing was utterly deplorable. You asked some questions about that.
Yes. Could you say something, please, about this question of whether or not photographs or film were staged during the war, from your own personal experience?
I'm glad you asked the question, if I may put it that way, because it did come up recently as a result of the BBC programme. So far as our unit were concerned, and so far as we were able to give instructions, had time to give instructions to people going out in the field, that was absolutely forbidden. Even on the personal level, we said we would take severe action against any cameraman who tried to pass off a photograph, because they had what's called a dope sheet. They had to write a little explanation with each reel of film saying what it was about and the circumstances. And it might be justifiable on some occasions to, as it were, restage a particular thing and explain, but they then would have to explain, this is not the actual thing, but this is how it took place. It might be valid in certain circumstances, if it wasn't encouraged. And any deliberate deception found out about would have resulted in the chap being immediately withdrawn from duty as a cameraman, I think, and sent back to ordinary duty. It simply was not allowed, and I can't imagine any sort of mentality which tries to get away with falsehood like that. Now, I'll give you an instance, for example. I had a telegram at one stage, or message at some stage, saying, kindly produce pictures of Japanese atrocities committed on prisoners of war. I remember talking to colleagues and saying, what the hell do we do with this one? It was influenced, of course, by the fact that at the time Belsen, Auschwitz and places like that were coming to light. And I suppose them in London thought that something like that would happen as we overran Japanese-occupied Burma. Well, of course, it didn't. And I remember writing a little bit of paper and saying, you know, how do you show as an atrocity a bucket of water? Because one of the Japanese favourite methods of, we are told, of interrogation was this sort of semi-drowning method, where you kept plunging the chap's head in water and he could hardly breathe. But you couldn't show any pictures of that, because you could never show it taking place. So we didn't have anything like that. We couldn't produce anything showing Japanese atrocities, for example. They didn't have anything equivalent to Belsen or Auschwitz, at least not in Burma, I don't think anywhere.
Who in London would send requests of that?
Well, I would imagine somewhere in the sort of psychological warfare headquarters, whatever it was, or the British... did we not have a Ministry of Information or Propaganda or something during the war?
I think we had a political warfare.
Political warfare, something like that. But there really was nothing to do. I mean, when we got, say, in Mandalay, and I've got a picture in my little album of the Japanese, of the Burmese gentleman coming out of prison. He simply had been in prison, that's all, and you just had a photograph of Burmese father released from jail, but there was no further to that. On the whole, I don't think they did a great deal in the way of atrocities under that kind of definition in Burma. The atrocity was the nature, say, on the Burma railway, which was, you know, wasn't in Burma, it was the railway to Burma, of using prisoners of war in a totally appalling way as forced labour.
What about the subjects selected by the cameraman? Was it left entirely to them, or were they under direction?
Well, it had to be in practice. You gave them a general instruction, but we only had 18 British Army cameramen for the whole of the 33rd Corps area, probably six for any three division, any one division engaged at any one time. We had to simply leave it to their own devices and say, get the best you can. And our chaps were enterprising, and they would try to find out which platoon of which company was likely to be in action and go for it. I think the difficulty sometimes came with the field commander, I mean the active unit commander, who didn't want a spare bod around who wasn't actually fighting. That's the difficulty, I think, they had. You were there, and you weren't actually going to fight. You were trying to photograph other people fighting, and that's very difficult.
So they would just be ordered out of the way?
Well, they could get in the way, and one of the things they had to learn to do was to be discreet, to slip away, so that they weren't in the way. Or, alternatively, I mean, you were liable to have a rifle thrust into your hands and say, get on with that, if you were in a tight corner.
Earlier on you mentioned Elephant Bill.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of him?
Only very briefly. I remember he came along when we were trying this sort of silly game with elephants. I never met him. I'd love to have met him, but I mean, I've read his book subsequently, and I would love to have really met him and really talked to him. I did see him about, but I didn't know who he was then, of course. He was just a colonel who appeared out of somewhere when we were trying this silly game with elephants and the Bofors gun.
So it wasn't his suggestion that elephants should be used in that way?
Well, the thought was that there were certain tracks which you couldn't even get a gun tower up, and there might be sort of situations in which if an elephant could take the parts, or elephants could take the parts of the gun, they could get to those parts nothing else could reach, and it simply was... We were in a period, remember, then when things were pretty quiet and all sorts of experimentation was going on behind the scenes to see how we could improve our offensive efforts.